session number 22079, reel 6.
Mr. Chamberlain, reel 6. Right, Mr. Chamberlain, we're talking about sport in PG 17.
Sport in the camp. Well, there was some idea of playing Totopoly. It's a strings, you know, and long lines of strings, and many in the square, but and race horses. And somebody used to shake a dice and so and so move so and so. Well, it didn't last above a fortnight, but it was taking too big an area up, and there wasn't room. There was room maybe when we first got into camp, but it get more and more. There was far too many, really.
How did what was the general state of health of the men after? I mean, you were taken prisoner in June 42. After about 6 months of being a prisoner, what do you think your state of health was generally?
Well, the treatment was pretty basic, really. But well, you see, when you're young and fit, you can stand a lot, can't you? But if they don't do it now, I'll go under.
What about general levels of food? I mean, do you think were people malnourished, or were they?
Yes, but in Italy, you didn't get the stuff. You didn't get the food to keep you healthy. In time, your debt would go down. Because I might say, skilly, it's no body needed at all. It's help out with your great cross parcels. If it hadn't been them, I don't know. Well, I lost 2 stone in camp from being captured to about a year in Italy. I lost 2 stone. Everybody did, especially these big lads in guards. Tall lads, they didn't have to go down. Terrible.
Did people still tend to stick with their own regiments and so on when they were a prisoner? Or did you mix more?
You get one or two maybe been in the same regiment, but not a lot, really.
And you stuck with Alfie Granger?
Yes. You see, there was Dickie, Alfie Granger, Jack Kennelly. We all were together in PG 70, but then we got transferred to Germany.
Now, before we talk about that, are there any other memories of Camp 70? Any other experiences?
PG 70.
That we haven't talked about? Any other incidents, personalities?
Yeah, well, you should try and arrange boxing matches. Well, they had a ring, but they were slogging it out, and then the strength to box. They just woof, woof, woof. They're both punch drunk. There used to be same two boxing all the time, and they got nothing for it. One of them worked in the latrines. He got double rations for that, but it wasn't even there. It was black bread, no energy needs at all. But that was a bit of amusement for men, but that was it. And that's all you got, really. And cricket. Cricket was all right. We had a bit of room for that.
Did you play? Did you play?
Yes. Oh, yes, I played, yeah.
Did you ever, just backtracking a little bit, did you ever get a chance to play sport in the army? You've mentioned the game against the Australians at cricket.
No, what sport in the army?
Yeah.
Well, if you was willing enough, there's all sorts of sports, of course. When you're in the army, all sorts, indoors and outdoors. But where we were, there's nothing at all. Like, really, you couldn't even get to work. There's nothing.
Now, so you're in Camp 70, PG 70, when the Italian armistice happened. Could you describe how that?
What, when they took over, when the armistice, they capitulated.
Yeah, the day that happened.
Yes, well, it was called out on roll call, 8 o'clock in the morning, and we just looked up and there's guards on the post, just Italian guards looking at us, and we're looking at them, and we got all counted up. And so there's a lot to count, but anyway, we all got counted. And when we got dismissed off roll call, there was the Germans on guard. So we're in German hands now. It just didn't change in the food or anything like that. It didn't change at all. But we weren't long and long before we got transported to up to Germany.
Mm. Now, when the Germans first took over, was there any kind of, did they make any kind of announcement?
No, it just was simply a quiet takeover. We just decided that it was over, we're in German hands now, and that's it. Mm.
So, in PG 70, there wasn't what there was in some of the other camps where the Italians disappeared, and there was like a couple of days when there was nobody guarding the camp.
You mean to take over from us, you mean? Take over from PG 70, the Germans. But the Italians didn't bother at all, they didn't care.
Except so the Germans.
They were pleased. They're
so
out of it.
How long did you stay in Camp 70 under the Germans? How long did they continue to run the camp for?
Well, I don't know, because when we got orders to move out of PG 70, the Germans were still there.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, how long was it after they took over before you were ordered to move?
On the move?
Yeah.
Oh,
not
long at all. Mm-hmm. We weren't long at all. No, they soon had us out, moving in railway trucks. You know, these old cattle wagons.
What did you think about the prospect of going to Germany?
Well, I don't know. We didn't think we'd be better off with the Germans.
Why was that?
As far as prisoners are concerned. But we didn't really know what we were coming into.
Why did you think you'd be better off with the Germans?
Well, the more of the military people, more like our style than what the Italians are. They're farmers first and foremost, the Italians. That's all they're bothered about. Anyway, we got in these cattle trucks and we went to Verona, through Verona, and there's bombs flying. Somebody says, bombing us now. They will be all our own planes. Our own planes bombing us again. And anyway, we got going again through to Munich, where train stopped. And weren't allowed to get out. But it just stopped, I don't know why. But anyway, it chugged along. And I think it was Leipzig when we got to... When I got halted, I think we changed trucks, shall we say, and it went up to Bad Schmiedeberg.
Now, Mr. Chamberlain, we're talking about your move to Germany, and we're just saying off the tape that before you went to the working camp at Bad Schmiedeberg, you went to Stalag 4B.
Yeah.
And if you could just remember, I know you weren't there very long, but if you could just remember what you remember about Stalag 4B.
Not a lot, because I didn't remember a lot about it, because I was absolutely browned off, terrible. I'm glad to get out, because we're too cramped up. About 40 in a building, in and out, got asked to go to the toilet, crossroad, back again. Another one, crossroad, back. We're like that all the time. And it went on nice for a few days. And I said to Alphonse, I'm fed up with this, Alphonse. I think I'm going to go volunteer for a working party. He said, it's a bit rough, isn't it? He said, we never know what we're going to get to work, though. I said, no, that's a risk, isn't it? And anyway, the four of us went. Jack Kennelly, Garbutt and Alfie and myself. And off we went with some more, but they got off somewhere else. And we got on the remarks from... Select 4B and to another train, cattle trucks of course, and then they dropped some of them off, quite a few really dropped off at different places, and we were dropped off at eventually a place called Schmiedeberg.
And what kind of place was that?
Fun.
What kind of place was that?
Schmiedeberg itself, it actually spa, bad, it means a spa I believe, and it was like a spa, Schmiedeberg, and it was a clean place, really. Anyway, we got there, and our guide took us up to what they call a lager, and he had the key for it, let us in, and We just waited there, and he says he locked us in, and he went down for, well, your dad and that.
That's the men that were already there.
Hey. Mm. He went down to Brickworks, and they came marching up, about 20, I think, or something like that, and we heard all this noise. Anyway, looks out the window. Oh, he says, there's lads here. And office lads are here. Anyway, he unlocked the door, and we all come in, it lads, with their working gear. And some British men at work. And anyway, we all mixed up and greeted one another. And Tom was there amongst them, of course. And we all got settled in. And next day, we were told to move, to sweep it all out, because we hadn't a job to go to then. Anyway, I got up at 5 o'clock and off to work for 6. And Gart told us, I'll sweep this place out, have it nice and clean. Boo. So anyway, we did that, of course. 4 of us in about 5 minutes, we had it cleaned up. Anyway, come back later on and he says, oh, he says, Chamberlain. I says, yes. Granger, you two go to Ernst Müller. Stein Fabrik. Well, we didn't know what Stein Fabrik were at all. But anyway, he took us down and he introduced us to the boss. We were about 80, and his brother were about 80, some I should think, and a cripple. That's all there were in this factory. The belts and wheels buzzing all over the place. Ooh, I don't know whether I'd settle in this job here. Anyway, we got settled down in a routine, and Ernst, this cripple, used to come and meet us from party going to work. We used to fall out at his, when we saw him, we used to fall out and he'd take us to work. And the rest of the gang went down and went to other different jobs and eventually finished up at Stein at Brickworks.
So,
anyway,
yeah.
We were told what to do in this factory. And I said, I'd never been on any machines. But anyway, I did what I was told. And we got in the right nice steady job. It's a bit monotonous. So I just stuck there on machine doing this and that. Ooh. Anyway, got moved for another machine. A bit of a change for us.
What were they
anyway,
making?
Anyway, weren't been there very long. And the boss, Chamberlain, he says, chocolate. I thought, now somebody been telling him something. I said, chocolate? He says, yes, yes. He could talk English. And I said, do you want some chocolate? Oh, so that, I'll see. I'll probably bring you some down. Anyway, I couldn't promise him chocolate unless Alf agreed as well, because we're sharing parcels. Anyway, I told we got to, went home at night. I says to Alf, I says, he's been asking us for chocolate. He says, oh. I says, boss. He says, are we going to take him any? I says, I think it'll do us a bit of good. I said, do you think so? I says, yeah. So we took him a big bar of chocolate, and he got one or two after as well, like. And he gave us a midday meal, hot meal. It was soup, but no meat, all vegetables, soup and that. And Christmas, he says, Chamberlain, here, Chamberlain, take 2 of those, 2 bottles of beer. Oh, I says, all right then now. I says, anyway, see what bit of chocolate's done. Anyway, give us a meal every day after that. His housekeeper had to get our meal ready for us at dinner time, but she didn't like it. Oh, no, she didn't. She was
why not?
Different altogether, proper German, but boss, he says, in fact, I used to go to a farmhouse with a dock cart, bringing turnips back and cabbages and cauliflowers and such like. And that was for our dinner. So a bar of chocolate paid off.
What did... now, you'd just arrived in Germany. You're out of the big camp, Stalag 4B,
yeah.
Into the little camp. What impression did the Germans make on you, the German civilians? What did you think of them when you first met these people?
German civilians?
Yeah, in the village.
Well, I think we got on pretty well with them, really. Oh, I was not too bad at all. Not in Spiederberg anyway, they just stippled up with us.
Did you? I mean, you've mentioned how the housekeeper.
Oh, this housekeeper, actually, an old German, I should think, an old fashioned effort. And the one time, one Christmas, she gave us a turkey, alive. She said, kill it. And our sister, she said, have you killed a turkey? I said, never. She said, have you? We said, no, I never killed a turkey. So she said, how do you kill him? I said, I don't know, we'll chop its head off. Oh, anyway, I said, anyway, Alfie got this turkey under his arm. He said, come on, you're going to Tower Hill. And, and anyway, we got it, got it, head laid on block. And this housekeeper come in. Oh, no. She wanted to catch blood. She wanted to catch this blood. I don't know. Make a black pudding or something. I don't know. But anyway, it got its head chopped off at finish.
Now, you'd arrived at this camp. You mentioned you'd arrived at this camp late.
Which one?
At Spiederberg. You'd arrived later than the other. The other 20 men, and that included Tom Tunney, my father. Now, what did the other men make of you for turning up? Did they just accept you?
What, the men that were already there?
Yeah, the POWs that were already
there. Oh, we just fell in as though, as though we'd been a regular occurrence with them. No, they're notable at all, really.
Now,
in fact, we're agreeable a lot, really. There were times when the tempers flared up, but not very often.
Could you just describe what this accommodation was, this lager? How big it was?
It's stable. It was a stable. It's been converted into a. Anyway, we got the conditions were pretty well hygienic. The hygiene of the place wasn't so good. It was a hearth closet, and at night we had to bring a big container in, a big drum, to do your business in there. And each man took it in turn to empty it next morning. And that was the only snag, really, with proper tables and such like. Or one big long table it was. Otherwise, and with little places for our clothes. They weren't rockers, they're just a place to hang your clothes like. And there was a fire where we could boil our water for a cup of mug of tea from the Red Cross parcel.
Now, you moved to Germany. How long was it before your family back in England knew that you'd arrived in Germany? And how long was it before, their letters caught up with you?
When we left Germany.
When you got to Germany.
We got to Germany, yeah.
How long did it take for your family in England to know
I'd been transferred? Well, I couldn't say how long. Well, we used to get some pay. It's funny, little my mother never got any. And it was to get little slips, how many marks it sent. And one day when I got home and saw these mark slips that had all been burnt, charred, and they'd been in a fire. But the length of time from going to Germany, it wasn't very long, really, before they got to know how in Spiederberg.
And how long before you got the Red Cross parcels? How long did they take?
Oh, we got on pretty soon after. Not as long as Italy.
No.
Well, it wasn't not too long. I think the men hadn't got in getting parcels. You know, the regular 20. They hadn't got started getting parcels yet. But it wasn't really too long before we got parcels.
What do you remember about your guard?
German guard. A postman, they called him, but I don't know. He was all right, really. There was a guard, he wasn't so bad, really. He slept in the farm house, I think. And he used to come round at 5 o'clock, Rouse, Rouse, Dan, Rouse. And and they used to get us up and take us to work. Oh, yeah.
Now, did you have any kind of, you know, you're at work, you were working in this small factory. Did you have any freedom to kind of explore the village at all? Or did you always have to...
When we were working, mm-hmm. when you couldn't go out on into the streets or anything like that. We went into the yard, you know. I went into the yard.
I mean, did you meet any other Germans apart from you?
No, we never met them at all, really. And funnily enough, there's none seemed to come to work.
What about other POWs apart from the British? Because what about other POWs? Apparently, there were Russian POWs in the village as well.
I'm not with you. I'm sorry.
There were Russian POWs in the village.
Oh, the Russians. Well, there were one or two in the village, but they used to just walk about anywhere. You know, they didn't seem as though they were locked up at all. See, we were at work, working. And then when we come home at night, we were locked in our lager and opened out next morning. We couldn't walk about at night.
Now, your boss was very kind to you. What about the other men that were in the camp? What do you remember about the jobs that they had to do?
The other British lads?
Yeah, and their bosses.
Oh, they seemed... As I say, one or two tempers used to flare up, but to forget about it. Hey dear.
But in terms of the jobs that they had to do, you've mentioned the men that worked at the brickyard.
Yeah.
What other jobs did the British POWs have to do?
What other jobs? Well, there was Alfie and myself in this where they made nuts and bolts and screws for farm implements. And then there's another one where Garbutt and Kennedy. They worked at another place, something similar to what we were doing. And then I think the rest of them was the biggest part in this brickworks. There was Rolf, I think he worked for a joiner. I think he did anyway. And the rest was all from the brickworks.
Now, these 24 men... What do you remember about, you know, who they were and where they were from and any...
I can't remember all the names now, but I can see their faces, but not the names. And let's see now, there's Alfie, of course. Dickie was a mill worker in Bradford. And Dickie Dunstery were a policeman in civil life. And... Let's see, who else was there? Garbutt. Kennedy, who was a chauffeur for Colonel, he also was a chauffeur in Civic Street, so he automatically got the chauffeur's job. And let's see, who else was there? Of course, there was Tom. And what did Tom do now?
He was a bricklayer.
A bricklayer, was he? Oh, I think I remember telling us now. I forget, and there was forget what jobs there were.
And all these men were from different parts of the country.
They're different. That's like Scotland, Wales, down in Devon, Yorkshire.
Did you have trouble understanding each other? Did you have trouble understanding each other?
No, not really. No, there's one or two odd little hobbies at night, drawing and such like. You know, we should draw. And there's one, Danny McRae, he wanted a pair of shorts because we'd only been playing football about a week on a Sunday. And he says, can you make me a pair of shorts? I said, I've the material for the making shorts. Where am I going to get material for shorts? He said, a shirt. I said, a shirt's no good for a pair of shorts. He persisted day in and day out, make us some shorts, Nev. I says, look, I said, you want two shirts for a pair of shorts? Oh, so I've got two shirts. Anyway, I said, I'm sorry. I said, it's no good spoiling a good shirt for making a pair of trousers for two or three games of football. So I said, no, I'm sorry. He says, can you make them? I says, well, I can make them of a snake, but it didn't like cutting a pair of shorts out of a piece of material. Because I was in that trade, you see, tailoring. Fish and chips. Tailoring and that movie. And I used to do loads of darning for a cigarette. I'll give cigarette to Dickie. Hey, dear, dear. Yes, I was. Or a professional downer, they called me. Professional downer, Nev.
So your experiences in that job before the war?
Yes, I was in tailoring and gents outfitting.
Now, apparently you had quite a few men from Wales in the camp, Welshmen. You had quite a few Welshmen in the camp.
Aye, I think Ben, of course, Ben Lewis, he was Welsh, and I can't think of the name. Davy. He was on Davy. Oh dear, oh dear.
How did you get on with them?
Oh, all right, yes, all right. Davy, little Welshman, he used to be a good drawer. He'd draw castles and all that, you know. I spent my time doing a bit of downing.
So, you have arrived in Germany, it's still 1943, coming into 1944. What do you think the German morale was like from what you could see of, you know, your boss?
If there'd been a bombing, I wouldn't talk to you next day. And the moaning and groaning, and Americans, woof. which they did, just Americans. But we more of a strategic bombing. Anyway, they didn't like us to. About money grubs for a day or so when they've been a bombing. But they used to go over our place to Dresden, where Dresden used to get bombed. I remember one time when it was Saturday dinner time, we finished work, 12 o'clock, and this cripple, Ernst they call him, he took us back to camp. He got the key from Boston, and he took us back to camp. He says, look, we'll go off through this field here, a big, big field. Massive. And we got halfway across, and planes were buzzing about, taking the notice of them. Then all at once, machine gunning. And then our plane machine gunning us, and with khaki on. Well, anyway, he missed us, fortunately. And Al says, come, let's go for Edge before he comes back. Anyway, fortunately, he didn't come back. I thought, well, by Jingle, he was going to get. Shut it, finish at war. Anyway, he missed us, that was it.
Now, during your working day, you mentioned you were up very early, what's 5 o'clock? You mentioned your working day, you were up very early. How long did your working day last till? When did you finish work?
We started at 6 o'clock till 5. And you had a break. But you know, breaks on the morning or afternoon. You just got an hour for your lunch. Well, the old man, he didn't have, he just had his sandwiches and started again. So you'd only have like an hour's break from 6 o'clock to 5.
And what was your meal back at the camp? What was that?
At camp? Well, of course, it was kartoffels every day, potatoes every day. And sometimes you had that sauerkraut. Oh, terrible stuff. Oof. Anyway, we managed to get it down as in time, but as I say, when we started getting a midday meal, we didn't want that.
What do the other prisoners feel about the fact that you were getting well fed? Were they envious of you? Were they envious of you getting well fed?
No, I don't think so. We used to dish out potatoes right and left, because Alfie was the same. He couldn't eat it. So there were two dinners there going to shining out among them. It money or only potatoes, but it helped. Hey,